gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Headlines worth talking about.
Oh, how y'all doing? Let's see. What's in the news today?
Headlines brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com. Guys, it's where you're going to get twice the size ring for half the price of all of those other big box stores in a relaxed atmosphere with no high-pressure sales staff. It's by appointment only. You go in, you talk Chiefs, you design a ring, and everybody's happy. Guys get twice the size for half the price, and the women get the ring of their dreams only at Kriegel Mesh.
Ladies.
Where do they find these infomercial actors that act like they can't do the simplest of tasks?
Yeah, like today I'm watching one that has them making lasagna in a pan and how difficult it is to make lasagna.
I remember there was this like noodle boiler thing, this little pasta maker, like a pasta boiler.
Uh-huh.
And it just showed somebody trying to make pasta on the stove.
In black and white, right?
Yes. And they're just... they're just befuddled by trying to put pasta into boiling water.
Right, or dumping the pasta into the strainer. Very hard, very difficult.
It always rolls all over the place, the water splashing.
I mean, that happens when my wife tries to cook. I'm not
kidding. Can't do anything. What the hell's wrong with you people? Let's start out with a little baseball, boys, from the weren't paying attention department. Major League Baseball handing out their MVP awards last night. Mookie Betts of the Red Sox, he takes home the hardware in the AL. Christian Yelich of the Brewers, but I guess he's a free agent, right?
Yeah,
either way. Christian Yelich, he won it in the NL.
Congratulations to him. Congratulations to Mookie Betts. The best thing about the MVP voting was the picture from the Mets executive sitting around celebrating, and one guy's going for the high five while the guy is getting ready to high five is going in with the fist bump.
That happens. That's tough. That happens. That is tough.
So 50-year-old white dude move.
That's when
great.
You go with the other hand on the side and you do the TIE fighter. That's what they call that. No?
I've never seen that one.
The TIE fighting, like the Star Wars?
Yeah, because you put your hands on the side and it looks like a TIE fighter.
I gotcha.
There we are.
And then Yelich and Baker Mayfield, I guess, are boys. Right?
Oh, they are? I didn't know. That is cool.
There was, Baker was tweeting out all kinds of photos of Yelich and stuff.
That's fantastic. I like when superstars are friends with each other. It makes me warm. I like when athletes appreciate what other guys do in different sports.
Hey, real quick for the people in the back, what was the name of that lipstick or that chapstick you used, Bob?
Rodan and Fields chapstick. It's fantastic.
I called it lipstick. My bad.
I got so many people asking me about that yesterday.
Rodan and Fields, great lacrosse player at Harvard.
It's on the rowing team at Yale.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. It's citrus. It's like a grapefruit chapstick. It's like grapefruit for your lips. It's great. I love it.
Rodan and Fields was definitely not like a 5-star basketball recruit or anything.
Rowing or lacrosse
or something.
He grew up with Spectre.
Yeah, he directs independent films.
Yeah, yes. Rodan and Fields grew up with Steven Spectre, and they went to boarding school together.
Yeah, they were in Cotillion together.
Those two guys were having a moose bouche for Thanksgiving.
I still don't know what a moose bouche is.
Apparently, it's like a sorbet that you eat in between courses that cleanses the palate.
You'd call it a beer.
Yeah.
That's thank you for making that relatable.
And the only reason we know what a moose bouche is because of Spectre. Every year at Thanksgiving, between lobster bisque and lobster roll, he has a moose bouche to get rid of the lobster claw taste so he can get the lobster tail taste. You think I'm making this up?
I don't, actually.
It's either beer or a burp in most households.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. That clears the palate for the next course.
That's exactly what I do. God, you're so bougie, Spec. Stop it. Les Miles yesterday reaching a settlement with LSU, his one-time employer. He will get a lump sum payment of $1.5 million. So he went with the cash option rather than the annuity.
Yes, that would be the description. Yes, perfect.
He was owed $6.5 million. I don't know why he decided to settle for $1.5.
That's ridiculous. I don't settle for anything. You owe me $6.5 million?
So he was fired, in September of 2016?
Yeah, just
now coming around to getting this agreement reached. He hasn't coached since, but Bob, you're not exactly thrilled about the idea of him coming to Kansas.
I thought most of these deals, though, you're like, your agents worked it out, so they're paying you.
Oh, God,
not,
yes.
Not they're paying you only if you don't have another job. I didn't know there's so many of these. I thought everybody got the ones now where you're just like, oh, I'd go take a job tomorrow, but you're paying me for my old one.
You're still paying me, yeah. Yeah.
But he had apparently had the type of deal. If you want to work another job, it's going to.
Somewhere Charlie Weiss is laughing at Les Miles.
Yeah. He's like, I got guaranteed money, dude. What did you do?
Yeah. But as the days go by, this looks like a worse and worse hire for the University of Kansas. I just think it's a very lazy hire by KU. I mean, it's a very important hire to get the right football coach. This is a lazy hire. Oh, Les Miles. I heard of him. I'll go with him. I mean, it's very lazy.
So,
and then for Les Miles, like, are we really getting a smart man at KU who turned down $5 million to do nothing?
I mean, basically, he's opened the door now to get a job.
Well, Why would you want a job?
I don't know. That's where I'm at. You give me 3 years, $6.5 million, I'll find a freaking
hobby. I told
you,
these guys have their identities tied up in being football coaches. Like, that's who they are. That's what they do. And as long as there's blood in their veins, they're going to do that.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it's really not smart to be that type of person. You got to have a different type of identity. He's got, what, two kids playing college football? Each month, the direct deposit of $133,000 is showing up in your bank account. Why would you do anything other than just allow that money to sit in your bank account?
Yeah, I will pour Cheetos on your stomach and eat them off of.
I will let that go through my veins. The interest can flow through my veins for that.
I mean, it is insane that you would turn down $5 million.
Just to go coaching.
To go work. Here's the deal.
I mean, he's going to make some of it back, obviously, with a job.
But you got to work for it. This is free cash.
I know, but you have to work for it. That's the bizarre part to me. Like, it doesn't equate to me. I would be like, I will. Okay.
I'll take the free money.
You does not compute.
The American dream is to be paid to go away.
What does every company want? They want
Charlie
to be bought
Weiss
out.
Charlie Weiss has been living that dream for years.
Right. Charlie has it right.
Yeah. I mean, like, every company that starts, their goal is to get bought out by a major corporation.
Come up with a great idea. Start it,
right.
Get it running, have somebody pay you
a lot of
money
for it.
I've been trying to sell out for years.
I know.
I just like the,
to
I me,
wish somebody would
I
let
just,
me do this.
This whole Les Miles thing at KU is just so ridiculous. You're going to hire a coach who legitimately turned down $5 million of free money to do nothing, to go work. It just makes no sense.
Ah, the American dream. Sporting Kansas City's one step closer to the MLS Cup. They advance to the Western Conference Finals after taking out Real Salt Lake 4-2 with the win at home. They won the two-match aggregate 5-3, advance now to face the Portland Timbers. It's another two-match aggregate, which will begin on the road Sunday, November 25th in a 6:30 start. Then it'll be back home at Children's Mercy Park Thursday the 29th for the return game at 8:30. Check out SeatGeek.com for tickets at SeatGeek.com. Sporting KC, the number one seed. Portland, the fifth seed in the West. They actually had to upset fourth-seeded Dallas in the knockout round 2-1, then face second-seed Seattle, and then had to win on penalty kicks 4-2 to advance. Two squads met twice in the regular season. Nothing-nothing draw in Portland in June, and Sporting KC a 3-0 home victory in August, behind two goals from Diego Rubio and another from Johnny Russell. So now it's down to two more meetings. Again, on the road on the 25th, back at Children's Mercy Park Thursday, November 29th, 8:30, and you can be there. Check SeatGeek.com for tickets. Kansas City, it's that time of year we've all been waiting for. Time for Sporting Kansas City to claim that cup.
I believe that we will win.
That's exactly right. Nicely done.
There it is.
Excited, excited.
Chiefs and Rams will not be in Mexico, in case you haven't been paying attention or you've been discussing grass and ketchup all week. But Andy Reid was speaking to the media yesterday. The Rams are pretty good. The Chiefs are pretty good. Andy, is this a measuring stick game for you?
Yeah. I mean, all that, I think all that sounds, that's not where we're at. We just get in and prepare, and that takes about all your time. I mean, I take a break to come here and talk to you guys, but I don't sit up there.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And think about those things. I mean, you're so focused in on getting the team ready to go, get the offensive part of it right, and make sure the defensive part's right and the special teams. And, you know, we're all working together to put together our best game. That's what you try to do each week.
Mm, Andy Reid has no time to think about anything
else.
That
sounds like a guy who would turn down $5 million to go back to work.
That's right.
Yeah.
100% right.
Ah, coaches.
On the other side of the field, though, Sean McVay, he was speaking with the media yesterday as well. And Sean McVay was talking about, hey, we watched tapes on the Chiefs. You know, they're pretty good offense.
Not just this week either.
Matter of fact, we might have borrowed some stuff. Yeah.
Really, our coaching staff as a whole, a fan of the game. And there's so much good tape. And, with the ability to easily access it week in and week out, it'd be silly for us not to be able to look and see what the heck they're doing. And every single week they do something, you say, that's pretty good. You know, and guys are making great plays. And I'd be lying if I said we haven't stolen some of their stuff this year. So they do a great job.
I don't know if you know this or not. Copycat League.
What?
Yep.
They're screwing you.
I love it. We're keeping teams up at night watching our film when they're not even playing us for like weeks and weeks and weeks on end.
I'm telling you, Josh, we're winning games on Wednesday. We're winning games on Thursday. We're winning games on Friday.
All we do is win. Marcus Peters was addressing the media yesterday.
Oh, did he drop a couple of F-bombs?
No. He was told not to curse by Jared Goff, which is a very nice approach. Marcus Peters, though, on playing the Chiefs.
He's playing football against the Kansas City Chiefs in just another football game.
Let's just pause for a second. I think he almost said the champs.
I thought the same thing.
Think back on your 3 years there, what kind of comes to mind? Were they good years, bad years for you?
I had fun. I started off an amazing chance to be able to play football in the NFL. I enjoyed it.
Will it be difficult to kind of keep your emotions in check?
No. I'm really going to be excited to see Emmitt Thomas, Al Harris, the rest of the DB group, a few other players like Justin Houston and stuff like that. I hope EB make the trip. It's football, bro.
You stay in contact with those guys?
Yeah, I talk to Justin, Ron Parker, and them a lot. They're my dudes, you feel me? They were my brothers when I was there, and then they still going to be my brothers off the field, so no matter.
So the way it ended there, is that just the NFL being a business, or...?
Let me ask you, how did it end?
You were traded.
Well, they traded you.
Yeah, so I can't do nothing about it. I didn't ask for it, you know? So, I appreciate everything that the Kansas City Chiefs did for me and my family for giving me the opportunity to play in this league. Now I'm just loving and enjoying being an L.A. Ram.
Sounds like it's going to be just another football game for Marcus Peters. Yeah. He mentioned about six Chiefs he's excited to see. I guess the rest of them are just meh.
Well, I mean, when you work with position groups all the time.
Those are your guys.
Those are your guys. I have no issue with that.
Guys. He didn't mention Bob Sutton. I'm not really surprised by that.
Well, you work with your position coach all the time. You work with your guys in your cornerback room. Or
whatever.
I
was waiting to mention Justin, who wasn't in that room.
Right.
That's your one other guy on defense. You're like, the closest guys I'm with are the ones that I'm in that position room with.
Yeah, let's not read too much into this thing.
Be playing football against the champ. Kansas City Chiefs and just
against
another football
champs.
Game we got to play against.
Yep, he's playing against champs.
He 100% knows. He 100%
he
knows.
He saw the script.
That.
That's why he's not too geeked up for this one, because he knows he's getting trucked on Monday night.
Speaking of some NFL football yesterday, Thursday night football going the way of the Seahawks.
Davis, the single setback, and Russell from the shotgun with three wideouts. Baldwin wide to the right. The snap throw inside. It's caught. Dixon. Touchdown, Seahawks. And I don't know if Russell audible to that, but if he did, a brilliant play by Russell Wilson.
That worked out pretty well. That was the game winner there to Ed Dixon, 27-24, the final over the Green Bay Packers.
I love how the Packers went color rush with those white uniforms. Those were cool.
I thought they were. I like them.
I think it's just, those are dumb.
Oh, I thought they looked pretty good, to be honest with you. I was like, they look sharp.
You serious right now, Clark?
I am. Yeah, I am. I usually don't like white on white, but last night I'm like, I kind of like those.
No color rush. Oh, we'll go white pants. Ooh.
By the way, the story that won't die continued yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was asked about his affinity for ketchup.
It's crazy. I mean, social media, it can blow anything up. And so I'm a big ketchup fan. I've always been a little bit more when I was younger. But it is crazy how social media blows things up these days.
Would you like ketchup for life?
I'm not opposed to it. So, I mean, if it happens and I get ketchup for life, I'll be sure to share it with some of the offensive linemen.
Do you put it on anything unusual? I heard steak, but is there anything really weirder than that?
I don't think it's that weird, but I put it on my macaroni and cheese. But people seem to think that's a weird
that
thing.
Before.
Some people think that's disgusting, but I mean, it's good to me.
Ranch you stick with?
Not really. I have Hunts. I do Heinz. I do it all. My favorite probably is the Whataburger ketchup. That's what Texas people would know that.
Was it Hines that offered him free ketchup for life if he throws 57 touchdowns?
No, that would be Hunts because Hunts has 57.
Oh, that's right.
No, it's Hines.
Hines 57. Get your stuff together,
Ryan.
And notice he is from Texas because he says Whataburger.
Oh, somewhere Gene Watts, an assistant to the general manager for the Royals, is high-fiving somebody that's not there.
They're so proud when they say Whataburger. You know, they're from there.
Can I just throw this out there?
Texans, like, they love each other because of Whataburger.
What does a bottle of ketchup run you?
Well, it depends. You get on sale for 99 cents sometimes, but usually about $2.39 if you're buying.
How many think you're going through in a year? Multiply that by the average life expectancy of a human. What are you getting here?
It's not a lot.
Like $250 worth of ketchup?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Doesn't seem like that great of a deal. Doesn't seem that great.
But maybe he can pass it out to his linemen.
They're screwing you.
Who wants a bottle of ketchup?
A lot of people would, man. Ketchup is good stuff, brother. There it is. Headlines.
Hulk Hogan me at the end of that?
I did. Headlines brought to you by Kriegel Mesh. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
Granny thought she had meth. Whoops. Drunk raccoons are out again. And the ultimate Christmas gift. All in fake news coming up next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's time for fake news.
The school that he was talking about in Wapiti, Wyoming, I would imagine that there's a gun in the school to protect from potential grizzlies.
The weirdest stories from around the globe that you have to hear to believe.
Those stories have been largely debunked.
It's fake news.
They have the most honest morning show. That's all I can say. It's the most honest.
It's fake news now.
I'm changing it from fake news, though.
Under
very fake news.
We get to this week's edition of Fake News in just a moment. We're trying, though, to help 1,000 Kansas City families get fed with Del Lamb's Operation Thanksgiving. You can go to 610sports.com to donate. $15 buys a turkey. $35 buys an entire meal for a family in need. A great place to help out this holiday season. Go to 610sports.com and donate. Fesco, you're actually going to be out on Sunday.
I will. Sunday at the Red Robin at 130 Fifth Street. You get a free appetizer, you know, if you eat there, obviously, if you bring in a turkey and make a donation to Della Lamb. So I'll be out there from 11 to 12. Fanning will be out there from 12 to 1. And Ron will be out there from 1 to 2 at the Red Robin on 135th Street. So come on out, bring a turkey. We were out yesterday at Old Shawnee Pizza, took the girls out, dropped off a turkey with Fanning and CDOT. There was piles of turkeys everywhere. It was awesome to see. And this community does it better than anybody else. When we need to help folks, we rally. And so that's what we're asking to do Sunday. Another opportunity to do that at Red Robin on 135th Street. You bring a turkey, get a free appetizer, and it should be a lot of fun on Sunday. The Chiefs aren't playing, man, so come on out and have some Red Robin with us. Yum.
It'll be a free appetizer. Get yourself some of those little tiny pretzel bites.
Ooh, do they have pretzel bites?
Yeah, they're delicious.
All right, I'm in.
So 610 Sports Radio will be there from 11 to 2, Red Robin 135th in Overland Park. The Red Robin and OP, Zona Rosa and Independence, offering a free app with a turkey donation in-store only. So you can go to any of the locations, but we'll be out at the location on 135th in Overland Park Sunday from 11 to 2.
And you can also go just online at 610sports.com, make a quick $15 donation to help feed some families.
Do the $35 donation. That gets a whole
meal. That's a whole meal. Yeah, the $15 gets you a turkey. $35 gets you a whole meal.
That is well worth the expense over the holiday season. Headline for you as we get fake news rolling this week, boys. 73-year-old woman worried about the meth she was smoking, so she took it to her doctor.
What? Is this good meth?
Is anybody shocked by the fact that this comes out of Florida?
No, all of these stories come from Florida.
Barbara Lee Ray of Polk County, Florida, 73 years of age, asked her doctor to test her meth because she was worried it was doing harm. You think?
Wait, I'm smoking this meth, Doc, and I think it's hurting me.
I don't think I got the good kind.
She'd been using it for about a month. Nobody really knows why she was using it or where she got it, but they did test it. It was meth. She was then arrested and booked in jail, two counts of possession and two counts of drug paraphernalia. She was released 2 days later. But come on, lady.
I mean, don't you wonder where you got it? Don't you make meth? Isn't that like how you get it? You make it in your garage.
No, you go
or
buy
something?
It. Oh. I mean, I know I'm from Independence here, so I'm really not serving our community well. But
yeah.
Just letting you know, you can go purchase methamphetamines.
That's, gotcha.
That's how it works. Headline, rolling in toilet paper. Sheriff buys 24,000 extra rolls of TP. Again, not shocking. This comes out of Alabama. A Marshall County Sheriff's Office mistakenly spent $22,000 on toilet paper and another $9,000 on 450 cases of trash bags. They currently are not being reimbursed for this, so it is coming out of somebody's paycheck, I'm assuming.
I don't understand what the issue is with this. It's not like you bought, like, too many, you know, heads of lettuce or something like that that's going to spoil. Toilet paper doesn't go bad, and neither do trash bags. You're good for years, man. Just move on.
I guess the allotment for supplies for that particular county is like $15,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's $22,000 in just toilet paper, Bob. So, like, they have no money left to spend on any supplies for the rest of the year.
I thought maybe it was kind of like you get to the end of the year and you got to, you know, use your flex spending or something. So
was that what it was?
Like buying a whole bunch of toilet paper.
Use it or lose it?
And then the next year he goes, well, we're covered on toilet paper, so the rest of our budget can go to other stuff. But
right.
Maybe that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that all adds up. Headline for you, police, rabid raccoons turn out to be drunk on fermented crab apples. I think we've all been there before. This coming out of Virginia, Milton, West Virginia, actually. Police apprehending a masked bandit because residents were calling in saying it was acting erratic and they feared that it was rabid and they didn't want it to bite their cats and dogs. As the post on the Milton Police Department's Facebook page, quote, turns out they appear to be drunk on crab apples. I feel like this is like the second time we've had this type of story.
Yes,
right?
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, drunk, we had the drunk squirrels, raccoons. Right? Didn't we have, or dogs or something? What?
I think it was raccoons.
I think it was raccoons,
Yeah.
Can I just throw this
zombie,
out there?
There were zombie raccoons, yes. Remember, for a while, and then they found out they thought they were drunk, and then they were eating something weird that was causing them problems.
I'm just putting this out here. I think those raccoons know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know damn good and well what they're doing.
Sure they do.
They see those crab apples, and they're like, hey, man.
Hey.
Let's go get us some of that.
Let's go get a little crunk here.
This headline... I don't really know where you stand on this side of the aisle, but Wisconsin company gifts employees handguns for Christmas.
Odd gift.
A company called Binshot, who makes something that's also an odd gift, bulletproof drinking glass products that actually have bullets embedded in the glass.
Okay.
So they make whiskey glasses, beer mugs, decanters, shot glasses.
Is there a market for this?
Apparently there is.
This must be good.
Ben Wolfgrim, he is the one of the owners at Binshot. We're a small, close-knit team at Binshot. I want to make sure all employees are safe and happy. A handgun was the perfect gift. They gave them an $800 gift certificate to go buy a gun of their choice.
Wow, that's nice. $800? Sweet.
The bulletproof bar glass business must be pretty good.
I was shocked by the fact that they produce bulletproof glasses.
Can you go to that that gun shop and buy something like cost $2 and get $7.98 in cash?
Probably not.
Yeah,
that's not how gift cards work. Yeah. This one, an update just from stuff we were talking about yesterday. Well, it's not really an update on the story, but this is a news story for you. Headline, police shoot samurai sword-wielding man. We just were talking about sword-wielding people yesterday.
Yeah, this is a different sword-wielder, though.
This is two sword-wielders in one day. I'm not excited that they shot him. I'm just saying we've had a second sword. So don't bring a knife to a gunfight,
yeah.
I think was the overlying rule there.
Don't be wielding swords, baby.
I think that's safe for everybody.
It is.
I mean, it's not safe for this sword-wielder, but that's just safe advice for everybody. Do not wield swords. It doesn't end well.
Texture says, when I was young, we had a crab apple tree and the birds were drunk a lot.
When, you know, on Fridays, we have a bottle of vodka and I get drunk a lot, so I understand
sit
how that
under,
works.
You're going to have a crab apple after work. Can we get drunk on crab apples? Are they poisoned?
Yeah, no, I mean, they're fermenting. You'd probably get the juices from the crab apple. I don't know.
Love me some crab apple.
We had a crab apple tree in my yard. Backyard growing up.
We did too.
Not aware of that.
We did too.
Had we known that we were kids, we might have tried it.
And smashing crab apples.
Right? Exactly. Like, we had those apples. They always smelled, you know, because they were rotting. Yeah. Who knew you could get drunk off of them?
I didn't.
Side note, isn't that how Bo Jackson got his nickname? Because allegedly he killed a boar with a crab apple?
Yeah, that's right.
I had not heard that before. Yeah. Seriously?
Yes. Yeah, so he used to, I guess they would get in like crab apple fights after school. And he, like, nobody wanted
too,
nobody ever wanted to get hit from one thrown by Bo.
Yeah.
He'd like throw him through like wooden doors and stuff.
I do remember that story, yes.
Wow, that's interesting. I did not know that.
As legend goes, he killed a wild boar with a crab apple.
That is today's edition of Fake News. The NFL missing yet another chip shot field goal. We'll explain next.
Hey. Fesco in the morning.
Back in on a Friday. Still a chance to win a Smokehouse Barbecue. Find out how at 8:15. Two chances to win pizza from the other place still to come. On a
how many
Friday.
Chances?
Two. A time to be determined. And 9:30 with...
Who we talking about?
Yep, Ryan's back, so we can go ahead and scream that as well.
That was a good one.
That was really nice. Well done.
The crap out of Ben over here. I don't think he was ready for that.
Ben, you awake? Did he wake you finally on that one? That's a good one right there, right? Ben's like, what are you doing to me?
So
Ben's yelling at me.
It's so easy to make it so accommodating sometimes for people. And I think customer service a lot of times misses the boat on this.
Yeah, it does.
A little goes a long way.
Uh-huh. A little does go a long
way,
right?
It does. Absolutely does. You just take care of someone. You mentioned it earlier, like give someone an extra dessert at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
they're a customer for life.
They're loyal forever.
Right. I'm not saying you should walk around and just pass out free appetizers, but, you know, if something goes wrong.
Yeah, just take care of somebody.
Right.
It's like a simple fix, right?
I was at Red Door the other day, right? And we were having lunch, and everybody else's food came out. Mine wasn't ready yet. It was a couple seconds behind or whatever. And they go, we're going to take that off your bill for you because, you know, it didn't arrive at the time that everything else arrived. They're like, you don't have to do that. I mean, the waitress only has two hands, you know. It's like she could have bring, you know. I'm like, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But you know what that does?
Got it.
That's customer service. It makes you loyal. And I'm like, wow, that was awesome, man. That's just a little tiny thing that they did that you're going to remember and you're going to tell your friends about. You go someplace and you get a free order of nachos or you get a free beer, you're going to go, hey, man, so-and-so gave me a free beer. That was pretty cool. And you're like, oh, I'll try that place. And then it has a trickle-down effect, much like negative publicity has a trickle-down effect.
And I think the reverse can happen as well. If you're inconvenienced and someone doesn't do that little extra step or doesn't feel compassionate about it,
right,
you're out.
You're out.
I think the NFL's doing this to the people that bought tickets in Mexico City.
Yeah.
The print on the back of the ticket says they don't have to give you your money back.
Right.
The game wasn't canceled.
It was just moved.
It was just relocated.
Right.
So you can take that ticket. You can take that ticket from Mexico City, and you can redeem it for a ticket in L.A. for the game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's like going basically from...
Gee, thanks.
You know where O'Fallon, Missouri is, right outside of St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Right on the west side of St. Louis. It's like the westernmost suburb of St. Louis. So you go from O'Fallon, Missouri, okay, to Los Angeles. That's the distance from Mexico City to Los Angeles. Not close.
Not close at all.
No.
So if you had planned...
And it's a different country.
If you'd planned a trip to Mexico City specifically for this game, and the game doesn't happen, I think you should get your money back.
Right.
Seems pretty simple. But they don't have to. They don't have to.
Right.
The language on the back of the ticket basically said, game times are subject to change and what have you, and doesn't have any stipulations for a game moved, which, you know, I don't know how that would pop up necessarily, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't put that in the back
but
of the
But you would think they would have that on the ticket just to cover their own butts, too, to go say.
I was under the assumption they were going to take care of these people.
Right.
They don't have to.
They don't have to.
They're going to exchange tickets if you want to go to L.A.
Right.
And go to that particular game. They don't have to give you a refund. That is bad.
Mm-hmm.
That is bad. The NFL can make some friends doing this. If you said, I'm not giving you your money back for this ticket, I don't know that I'd buy another ticket.
Right.
I'd be like, this is wrong, and I'm not doing it. You just cost yourself a customer.
Right.
Oh, they may just say, well, I got your money. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a bad way to go about it. But the NFL
But is the $75 they're going to keep off of you worth it for the long term?
Yes, the NFL had it so easy. Just refund everybody the money for this game. The game's still being played at another – you could still make money at that game. Refund the money for the game that didn't happen in Mexico City and call it a day.
Right. What they should have done is immediately when they canceled the game in Mexico City is everybody who had a ticket who purchased with their credit card, it should have been refunded automatically by the league. Now, if you bought it through a scalper or a ticket broker or somebody like that, you're kind of on your own on that one. But if you bought it through the Rams or through the NFL or whoever you bought it through, that is affiliated Ticketmaster with the NFL. Immediately when they canceled that game, they should have refunded the money for those tickets and then opened up another tab in their browser and created a new event, which was the same two teams playing, but at a different venue.
Yeah.
And it would have been that simple. We're giving you the refund for this event because it's not taking place anymore. If you want to go to Los Angeles, now here are your options to rebuy those tickets, and everybody would have been taken care of. And I can't
believe they'd be doing this.
I can't believe it either, but I told you my friend Vip was going to go down with a group, and he sent me this information this morning, and here we are on Friday. He goes, well, we haven't even heard anything about a potential refund. And then he saw this story. He goes, is this happening? I go, wow, if you haven't even heard about the refund yet or seen anything about the refund yet, then maybe you aren't getting refunded on this. This shouldn't be a situation that takes this long. Like I said, Wednesday, as soon as that game was canceled, the refund should have been issued to everybody, and that game should have been closed out, and we should have opened a new game and a new event in a different browser and moved on and had everybody buy tickets to that event if they wanted to go to that event in Los Angeles. And when you don't refund the money and you make people jump through hoops and you make this a difficult process, especially around the holidays right now, and you're inconveniencing people, you're making them have a bad taste in your mouth. And my buddy Vip, who is 45 years old, has got disposable income, has the ability to travel to these events, he texts me and he goes, I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of sour about this right now. And it's going to impact what I do in the future when it comes to events like this.
Yeah, it's not the Chiefs' fault.
This is not the Chiefs.
But if I'm scheduling a trip to Mexico City and I'm going to go down to this game and they tell me I'm not getting my money back, I'm like, well, I guess why would I want to buy a playoff ticket then?
Right.
You know, I mean, I could take it out of the Chiefs. I could take it out of anybody. I just think the NFL could do a very big service to themselves by just saying, we're just giving this money back.
It's not a big deal. We're a $13 billion industry.
It's the right thing to do.
Right.
And the ticket on the back says, if the event is rescheduled, the ticket will be honored at the rescheduled event and except as required by Mexican laws, whatever those are.
Right.
No other remedy or compensation will be available to the holder if the holder cannot attend the rescheduled time. So basically, if it's not canceled, which it wasn't, it's rescheduled. It's rescheduled. Rescheduled for Los Angeles.
Right.
If you can't get there, tough. Your problem.
That's what they're saying.
We don't have to give you your money back at all.
And I hope the NFL changes that policy today and we hear about they're gonna start to refund the money to folks who purchase these tickets because, again, it is the right thing to do. The worst case scenario is what they say, and I could see this happening. We will keep your money, but you will have a credit for a future NFL international game. So if you want to go to London or Mexico City next time,
just give the money back.
We'll give you the credit.
It's not that difficult.
You can see that happening, though, right?
Yes. You could trade this in for any other game of the international series.
Right.
Oh, so if I pay for a ticket to go to London, I can use this ticket to get in for free?
Uh-huh.
Well, whoop-de-doo.
Whoop-de-freaking-doo, right? And I was only going to Mexico City because I'm a Rams or a Chiefs fan. What if I don't want to go see the Titans play the Jags in London. I'm not interested in that. Or I don't want to go to Mexico next year and see, you know, the Raiders take on, you know, the Titans or whoever the case may be. I'm not interested in doing that. I want to go out and I want to see the Chiefs play this game. We're going to give you an international credit for it, and that's the way it's going to be. Or maybe you know, they wise up. If they don't want to issue refunds, then they maybe say, okay, we're going to give you a $75 credit, whatever the ticket cost, to the team of your choice. And if you want to go and use that money towards going to a Chiefs game in Kansas City or a Rams game in Los Angeles, then you can do that. You can't just say to people, sorry, folks, park's closed.
If you take your tickets and go to L.A.
Back of the ticket, should have told you.
Go to window B and we'll let
that
you
was
in.
Good, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It could be so simple. So simple.
But the NFL seemingly does this all the time because the people that run the NFL aren't in touch with the average guys and average gals that are in this world that are hardworking. The NFL is so tone deaf to the normal human being that they don't realize that this is probably an issue for a lot of people that just want their money back for a game they're not going to be able to get to go.
That didn't happen. It's not happening. Right. I don't care about rescheduling. That game in Mexico City is not happening.
It's not the same game anymore.
And, I mean, this is an option. Someone out of the 785 suggesting reselling the ticket. So you could just take your ticket and put it on an NFL ticket exchange if you'd like.
Good.
But you shouldn't have to go through hoops.
Of course you shouldn't have to. I mean, but it's an inconvenient situation for a lot of people. Yeah. Now, right. The NFL could have certainly gotten out of their own way and made it a little bit easier for everybody, but
You know what you should have done?
They're not here to make friends. They're here to make money. Right. Let's just be honest.
But you should have woke up on Thursday morning and that money should have been credited back to your account. I mean, you say put it on ticket exchange. Right now, according to ESPN, there's 4,457 tickets available for this game on Monday night. So you can put that up on ticket exchange. You're probably not going
to
sell it.
I mean, worst case scenario, can I get like a store credit or something?
Well, that's what I said. Give a credit to,
Let me get like an NFL shop gift card or something.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Put it towards a jersey. Something.
I'll do that.
Something. Just take care of these people. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, if you want to give a $75 NFL shop, give them. You got to do something here, man. You've got to do something.
They're going
to
give you 20% off of the NFL shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't be a
fool. And free shipping.
Yeah, on purchases over 99 or more.
Yes. Yeah.
And they'll throw in free shipping. That's exactly right. How to slow down number 15. Well, a Hall of Famer will take his shot at it next.
Fesco in the morning.
Everybody trying to figure out a way to slow down this Chiefs offense.
There's no way to do it, man. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Stop trying to slow it down.
Ask the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that's true. They did a pretty good job.
I feel like everybody should be in the camp of the Saints and the Rams. Everybody else is like, we're just going to try scoring too.
Yeah.
Everybody to score. It's a scoring season. Go ahead and do that.
The season of scoring.
Yes.
I think I did a good job.
But one former quarterback, Hall of Famer, is going to take a shot at it. Kurt Warner on the NFL Network, giving his thoughts on how to slow down Patrick Mahomes.
To me, the key to slowing down the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes is you have to get pressure on him. Their offensive line has been incredible this year. But if you watch the game last week against Arizona, it was actually closer than I expected it to be. And a big part of that was the pressure that they consistently got on Patrick Mahomes throughout the game. When you give him time, he has shown he's a big time quarterback. He can read the field. And of course, he can make all the throws. You have to rush that. You have to force him to hold the football longer than he wants by moving in the pocket or by making bad throws. Not very many teams have been able to do that. We know the Rams have the capabilities of doing that with those guys they have up front. But they've got to do it consistently on Monday if they're going to win this football game.
Now, I've been surprised all year, really, Bob. I mean, I know it's not as easy to rush the passer, but I would send a ton of stuff at him, try to bait him into a mistake. I don't feel like a lot of teams have baited him into mistakes at all.
He hasn't really made any mistakes.
And I know he's good at moving around, but are you going to be more likely to do it when you are flushed than you are standing in the pocket? I think so.
Maybe. I don't know, though, with him, though.
That would absolutely be the case. I'm surprised. You look at those, facing the blitz type numbers, and the Chiefs don't face a lot of them. And yeah. I've always kind of, wondered why. Like, that's what I would do.
Well,
I'd try that till he, burned you a couple times.
Yeah, but it's tough, though, Josh, because if you blitz, then you're leaving maybe Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce wide open. And the way that this kid plays against pressure and against the blitz, he's going to find those guys. So it's like, no matter what you do defensively, you're leaving something else available. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. There's always a give and take. Like, I would err on the side of that rather than play back double team guys and then make him – throw it in a window. I'll give him a little heat, make him make a quick decision and see where it goes. I don't think enough teams do this. And I know the quick release game that everybody plays now, it makes it a little more difficult.
Right.
But I'd still take my shots that way.
But if you're doing, like, let's just say you just go in a base defense, right? Okay. And you've got everybody covered and you feel good about that. You're still giving Mahomes time there, though, because the offensive line has been really good this year. I saw somebody else yesterday besides Von Miller and Rich Gannon say it's one of the better offensive lines in the NFL right now. So you can have everything covered, but you're still giving this kid an opportunity, and it's hard to rush the passer against this offensive line. And when you give, the quarterback time in the pocket, eventually somebody's going to get open, and you're going to find somebody open. So, like, there's really not a lot you can do against this offense to try to slow them down. And for my two cents on this one, if the Chiefs want to win this game, because the Rams are a different breed of rushing the passer than anybody else that they've faced so far this season, The one thing that you have to do, I think, for the Chiefs, I think they need to throw less than 25 times to win this football game, because I think it's going to be one of those games where you can run the football, because the Rams really aren't that good against the run. I think one of the biggest misnomers is that they're so great, you know, defensively. The Rams are second worst in the NFL in giving up 145 yards per game on the ground. That's where the success has to come for the Chiefs. I don't think you put this game in the hands of Mahomes to go out there and win the game for you, because this is a team defensively, I'm talking about the Rams, that gets after the quarterback very well. Aaron Donald, Ndamukong Suh, these guys find ways to get after the quarterback. And you look at what the Rams have done this year from a pressure standpoint, they know how to sack the guy, okay? They know how to sack that guy in front of them. They know how to pressure the quarterback. They know how to get after the quarterback. They know how to make him hurry and all of that kind of stuff. So I don't want to put that kind of pressure on them. I want to run the football against these guys. I think this is a completely different offensive game for the Chiefs, that if you run Kareem Hunt and you run Spencer Ware, you're going to win this football game, because the Rams have shown they can't stop the run. They don't have any ability to go out there and stop the run.
Yeah, I think both running backs should be preparing to have a big day and a big workload.
Yeah.
I know that it...
You're talking Gurley and Hunt, or are you talking...
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Spencer Ware can be ready too.
Right, yeah.
He can be on the ready too, but
Malcolm
Brown
better be ready.
Yeah. I just think that both teams would be best served to use their run game this week. And it's not to keep the other off the field or any of those things we've talked about before.
Right.
You know, against the Chiefs and what have you, that's the best way to attack their defense.
Right. You look at the Rams and Chiefs are both top 10 in the NFL in sacks, okay? So they know how to get after the quarterback. What you want to do as a coach is put your players in position to be successful. You want to exploit weaknesses. The weaknesses for both of these teams is stopping the
23rd
run.
And 24th in the NFL in the run.
Yeah. So what do? You want to try to run the football. And I think
so be it.
Both teams have a lot of success running the football. So while Ben Maller talked about seeing a 58-57 type of final, I don't know that we're going to get that high, because I think both teams are going to try to run the football a lot in this one.
I would.
Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. I think anything over 25 passes is too much to try to win a football game against the Rams. I think you got to run it.
Do you feel like he gets 300, though?
300 yards?
Yeah. Even though there's only, you know, maybe if you lower attempts, can you still get a 300-yard game?
I mean, you could. I mean,
it doesn't have to happen. I know.
Tyreek Hill's probably going to run right by Marcus Peters.
It's just a number. I still feel like they're going to pass very well as well.
Yeah, but the passes that they have run, will be successful.
But I think the run game could be very, very key for both.
Yeah, but I think
you
can establish
your run game against those defenses, you're gonna, you know, be able to offset some things they do in rushing the passer,
and you keep the other offense off the field too, guys. I mean, that like we've talked about that so much this year for the Chiefs. If you want to beat the Chiefs, run the football. Well, now the Chiefs are kind of trying to beat themselves. If you want to beat the Rams, what do you got to do? Well, you want to keep that offense off the field, so run the football, run the clock down. Cut Todd Gurley and make him sit on that bench over there at the Coliseum. Don't give Jared Goff any opportunities to go out there and make plays. Keep them on the bench, and keeping them on the bench, the best way to do that is to run the football against a defense that really isn't that good at stopping the run.
Make Marcus Peters tackle the run.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
Hey, Ed, how you doing?
I'm good.
So that's how I think you win this football game.
Up to the line of scrimmage and try to stop.
I told you, I want to find somebody just to sit in the corner of the studio and do that Ed McMahon thing.
Why can't you do
What's
that?
What's Ed McMahon doing?
Because I'm also doing other things. I just want this person to solely be dedicated to
this. Ed McMahon. Is he with us or no?
No, Ed McMahon died years ago. Oh. I'm willing to bet at least a decade.
That dude's been dead longer than Carson.
Yeah, he hasn't been handing out those publishers' clearinghouse checks in a while.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, he died in 2009, man.
Good Lord. It's a decade, Josh. That guy hasn't had a Thanksgiving in 10 years.
Phil, that doesn't mean he can't still be laughing in a corner.
He is.
Thanks for really digging that wound back up.
Yeah, way to go, man. You know how much we love Ed McMahon.
I just started getting over it, really.
Yeah. Come on, Josh, thanks.
June of 2009. It's been a while.
He hasn't had a Thanksgiving since 2008.
Yeah.
So 10 years. 10 years ago. This month was the last time Ed McMahon had turkey.
I think this is the last time he had a pumpkin spice latte. Was a decade ago.
I don't think those were popular.
He didn't even
10
have
years
one.
Ago.
Oh, they definitely had pumpkin
he didn't
spice
have
lattes.
A latte.
A decade
ago. Did they have Uggs 10 years ago, though? Did they have Uggs yoga pants and pumpkin spice lattes in Johnson County 10 years ago?
I think Uggs have been around for a while. They might not have been as popular. But I guarantee you people in JoCo were rocking them already.
Unbelievable. Let me tell you about the minivan Jeggies. Drivers. The minivan drivers in JoCo. Oh, just the worst. Like, if you drive a minivan, you just have a tattoo that says, I am a terrible driver.
The day I learned about jeggings was the day I just decided to give
Shut
up.
It down.
I'm just done here.
You're done? You don't like the jeggings?
What is that, stretchy denim you got there?
Yeah.
That's
very comfortable pant.
Mark in the newsroom had him on yesterday.
He was doing deep lunges. It was kind of creeping me out.
Stretchy.
I thought they were sweatpants.
I know. They weren't.
Oh.
Yeah, he had smuggling plums.
Male version of jeggings on. Oh. Mahomes doubles down on ketchup. Peters keeps it calm and sticking it to Andy. All coming up next.
Fesco in the morning.